Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the creepy cemetery. Was there a portal in the cemetery, and were demons torturing the souls that were buried there?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, share those real ghost stories with us. You can call in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, and you get access to the archive, which literally will take you years to get through, you can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here today. You know, I'm thinking a cemetery should be a place where you go to rest in peace.
Well, that would be what one would hope.
Right.
But we do live, you and I live within range of a cemetery that is apparently like a portal to hell.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't live closer to that one.
You know what? We're about 3 hours from that or something.
Wouldn't it suck to live across the street from one?
So it can happen, I guess, right? That and we occasionally, from time to time, have cemetery stories. I'm kind of surprised we don't have more of them, but you know, when you think about it, why would you just be, like, if you're buried, like, why would that be a place you would stay?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you go back to your house to haunt it, or back to, you know, some place that, you know, the movie theater or the, you know, theater you worked in or the school you worked in or, you know, where things happened to you would
although,
be where you would identify maybe more than a cemetery.
If you had a child buried in that cemetery. Then I could, that would make sense. You know, maybe
there would be a reason. Yeah. We had that the other day there was a cemetery story where a woman was buried in the same cemetery as her child, but for some reason or another, we're not right next to it.
Which makes
sense.
And
so there seemed to be some kind of, you know, situation there that, you know, she wasn't happy about where she was buried or something. But you know, as far as demons torturing souls, this sounds like some sort of weird portal to hell.
And maybe it is. Bum, bum, bum. So this starts by saying, let's go all the way back to 2008. I was 16. I grew up in a very Christian home. I'm from Bloomington, Illinois. This is more like three stories combined into one because each takes place at the same area. And the three times I had been there, it was never a good experience. There was this cemetery on the older west side of town. My friends and I had heard some freaky stories about it and decided to check it out. I've always had a love for the paranormal world. It is my dream to become a big-time paranormal investigator. I've been doing paranormal investigating as a hobby since then, so I'm full of interesting stories. So back to this cemetery. My friends and I decided we wanted to check it out. This is my first initial ghost hunt, by the way. We had two full cars of people. Now, with this being my first initial ghost hunt, I was freaking myself out on the way there. It was probably about 10 or 11 at night. We were following the other car there. I was getting anxious, so I started praying. I said, God, if we aren't supposed to go to this place, give us a sign. And immediately afterward, the radio in the car gets all static. So by this time, I'm freaking out even more. The first car arrived. We parked right outside of the fence of the cemetery. We also decided to do this after a big rain. So the first car got stuck in the ditch right outside of the cemetery. The second car, which I was in, didn't know the first car got stuck and also followed after them and got stuck as well. It was pretty late, so the road wasn't very busy, but we were all trying to flag people down to help us. Eventually, we flagged someone down to help us get out of the ditch, and this guy was absolutely covered in Jesus and religious tattoos. Coincidence? Who knows? But he got us out, and my friend still wanted to go inside the fence into the cemetery. We turned our video camera on and walked into the gate. Right after entering the gate, the video camera goes wonky and says something like, no disc, and shut off. It has never worked since. In the middle of the cemetery, there was a giant silver crucifix. Supposedly at midnight, the crucifix statue does a 180-degree turn. I've heard multiple people tell me they've witnessed it. I had never seen it, though. Anyway, once the camera went wonky, I booked it back to the car. Fast forward to a couple of years later. We built up the courage to go back with a different group of friends. My ex-boyfriend, I was with him at the time, came along and was in a really pissy mood. I was telling him in the car on the way there that he needed to get his mood straight and to get mentally stable because that can be very dangerous when doing paranormal investigating. And she is right by that. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with that advice. Like, you don't want to take the pissy person with you.
It's like, you know, I don't want to take a pissy person with me anywhere.
Oh, my God,
if you
want to
know the truth.
We're just going driving around. You stay home. We don't want you.
But bad enough, you know, if to take them, you know, on your on an investigation.
When they can feed off of energy like that.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
So she continued and said, excuse me, it makes you vulnerable to what is out there and you risk getting messed with or in worst cases, attacked. But no, things would be fine. He can handle himself, blah, blah, blah. I left him be. We arrived at the cemetery, parked in a different spot than the first time, and a couple of us walked through the gate. I had my EMF detector on, and it was going crazy. I was getting really good readings. My pissy ex, just like that reference, my pissy ex, made it to the first headstone and started complaining about his side hurting. He said it was a burning sensation. I told him to lift up his shirt, and sure enough, three long scratch marks were going down the side along his rib cage. He went white as a ghost, no pun intended. I tried to find my camera to snap a picture of it. By the time I got a picture of it, only one scratch was left. He booked it out of the cemetery and back to the car and was on the verge of tears. He was so scared. We left after that. We were barely there 5 minutes. Last but not least, the very latest time I went, which was about 4 to 5 years ago, I was dating someone else. We had a mutual friend who was very sensitive to the paranormal, and I wanted some answers about why this cemetery was so dark and evil. The air just felt heavy anytime I was there. The energy that came from that place was always so intense that I could even feel it from down the street. I fully believed something evil was there. Now, the boy I was dating at the time definitely didn't have his emotions in control, like ever. He was slightly autistic and was diagnosed with depression. But he told me he was fine to go and felt fine and stable. We went, and my friend Colin, the sensitive guy, walked around with me in the cemetery just taking everything in. And my boyfriend just took off on his own, wandering off in a different area, which was strange of him, but I brushed it off. My friend Colin said that all he could hear was screams and cries for help. I asked him what he thought was wrong with the cemetery, and he believed that there was a portal in the cemetery and that demons were coming through and torturing the souls buried in the cemetery. Who knows if that was true, but there was definitely a dark force there of some sort. Once we got enough of the creeps, I went to grab my boyfriend and tell him it was time to go. He turned his head back to look at me and he just glared at me. He didn't move. He was just glaring at me. I was getting impatient. And I was like, come on, let's go. Then he starts growling at me. In my mind, I was like, what the hell? But in reality, I got mad. So I grabbed him by the arm and dragged him out of there. We got in the car and started driving away, and it was like he had come back. The farther we got from the cemetery, the more normal he got. I don't necessarily think he was possessed, but something was definitely messing with him, and that was terrifying. I've had plenty of people ask me to take them to that cemetery, and I tell them I will never go back. There's no way anyone could get me to take them there. I wouldn't say I like driving past it during the daytime. So that's my story. I love your show. I will definitely enter in some more stories of my investigating adventures. Thank you for your time, Amanda. I'm surprised Amanda went there three times. Especially after the pissy ex-boyfriend had, she had seen those weird scratches.
Yeah, weird scratches. So we had that. And apparently there was a rumor of the cross that would
rotate.
Rotate 180 degrees. She didn't say they saw that.
No.
That was a rumor. The second time, they had some readings, more scratch marks. Was that right?
The second time was the scratch marks.
That's right. The first time the guy that was covered with the Jesus tattoos got them all unstuck and they went in. You know, I think anytime you're going to do an investigation, I like the research angle that you're going to stop and see what you can find out ahead of time before going in. Can you find out if there's ever been any other situations that other people can describe to you that have happened to them there? You know, or are there any stories about people that were buried there and that they haunt it and why? I don't know. For me, I feel like it's more of a spirit as opposed to demons and portal to hell, but I wouldn't, you know, I can't say. I mean, I don't know why this other person who was sensitive would think that. And my logic is that I just don't think, for me, that a cemetery is full of spirits. I think most of the people that are buried at a cemetery move on. I don't think they're there. But now, could there be one or two still? Yes. There could be, for whatever reason, I assume. But I prefer, this might just be me wishful thinking, to believe that most of them have moved on so that they're not there being tortured by something. Now, is there a presence there? Maybe. Could be. You know, there could be some spirit that lingers there. But I prefer to think that it's more of just a solitary spirit of sorts, as opposed to this gate to hell kind of thing. What do you think?
You know, from never being there, I don't know. But it definitely, you know, she got three very creepy experiences. And the first one was almost like it didn't want, you know, she asked for a sign. They got stuck. Mm-hmm. The radio turned to static. A guy covered in Jesus tattoos showed up. I mean, you asked for a sign and you ignored all of them. But it definitely sounds like something dark was there. I'm with you about the portal. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that it's torturing souls or anything like that. But there's definitely something really dark there.
That's what I think. I think there's something there. I do. But like I said, I just personally believe that in most cemeteries, most of the people that are buried there are not there.
Because it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I could see how somebody could end up being there and they're just pissy.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen.
Once again, who knows what happened? You know, there could be people buried there with unfinished business. There could have been some Civil War battle on that site. Or there could have been some Indian massacre or something that happened that was really traumatizing on that land. So maybe there could be something attached to the land.
I definitely think there is. But is it a portal? I don't know.
Well, I would love to hear some more of Amanda's. It was Amanda, right?
I would love to. Yes, absolutely.
Hear some more of those investigative stories. Because I love hearing stories about investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Here is another story. It says, first off, I'd like to say thanks for the awesome show. It makes my days at work fly by. My name is Tori, born and raised in Michigan. I'd like to tell you about what I consider a bittersweet love story. A little backstory. My grandpa and grandma met when they were 16 and married young, but their love was something I strive for every day with my husband. So as you can imagine, when my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer, it was devastating. He fought hard for years and eventually lost the battle about 6 years ago. My grandmother was heartbroken and quickly fell into a deep depression. Luckily, my aunt had just bought a house right across the street from her, and her family was there to take care of my grandma and make sure she was okay. Well, about a month after his passing, my grandma was sleeping pretty much all day, getting up ever so often to take her medication and eat some food my aunt had brought her. Well, one day, she accidentally took her blood pressure medication twice. With her getting up and going back to sleep so often, she'd forgotten she had already taken it for the day. She had overdosed and was sitting out on her front porch in the pouring rain in her pajamas. Soon after, my aunt, who was making dinner at the time, received a text from my grandma, which I'd like to express at this time. My grandma had no idea how a phone works other than to make a call, let alone send a text. That is our mother.
Oh, yeah.
If we got a text from our mom, that would be someone else has her phone, period.
That's right.
The text to my aunt read, and this is in caps, "Help me." Concerned that she had gotten a text from her mom, she looked out the front window to see her sitting on the porch, soaking wet and looking into space. She took her to the hospital, where she had to get her stomach pumped and put through other various tests. When my aunt went back to get some things for her mom, she found the phone plugged into the charger but not turned on. She checked her messages on her phone to find the one that was sent to her, and it was gone. My aunt, being a very religious woman, does not believe in the supernatural, but at this point, she asked if it was her dad who sent the message to save her mom from an overdose. And at that point, she got a warm feeling on her shoulder. She immediately broke down in tears. She knew it was her dad looking over the love of his life, even after his passing. I hope to hear this story on the show. I have more stories from my grandpa that I'll send in another time. That's from Tori. That is a great story.
Those are the best stories.
Great and sad. I mean, I'm really sad to hear about your grandpa. Don't get me wrong.
And but, that your grandma was struggling so with his loss. But what a great story.
Because that would totally get your attention. If you or I got a text from our mother that said, "Help me," I would be, holy shit.
Yeah.
And because my mom has no idea how to text on her phone, nor does she to learn.
She doesn't know what that means, what a text means even, really.
I mean, she kind of gets it. Like, she knows that you and I get messages from people and we read it to her. It's like, I don't know how this voodoo magic works, but they're getting messages from people.
But she kind of gives me that blank look in her eyes, like, okay,
She's just now understanding the concept of Facebook. Like, she'll say to me once in a while, like, I'll say something about a picture on Facebook. And then later she'll be like, "Well, you mentioned that picture on Facebook. Could you show that to me?" I'm like, "I sure could, Mom." But yeah, so she thinks it's very strange that you and I can so easily talk to our cousins through Facebook. So she doesn't comprehend it. So I can relate to that story.
Yeah. No, that's a great story. And I do think it was her grandfather that saved her grandmother.
And I think it's interesting because it said the aunt, being a very religious woman, does not believe in the supernatural, but asked if it was her dad and then felt a warm feeling on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So she got her answer.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that story so much. I mean, it's sad, but I do love the story so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got one more story.
My name is Maggie. I grew up in a small town. By small town, I mean a population of about 200 people. During the summer, my best friend would often come and spend a night with me. During the daytimes, we would just walk around the town, usually down a dirt road that wasn't but about a block or so away. This day in particular, my mother, who was a retired beautician, was giving her mother a perm. My best friend and I had already walked down our dirt road whenever we decided to go down a different dirt road. This one was a partially paved dirt road that was across the street from where I lived. This was the first time that we had ever went down that particular dirt road. Whenever we started walking, we noticed that on the left side, there was a house that had a wood fence. In one of the posts in the wood fence was a knife. I remember that we talked about it and noticed that it just looked odd. It was a particularly breezy day, and we wanted to see what was down this tree-lined road. The moment we passed the knife, the wind just stopped. You could see that the leaves in the trees just immediately stopped. Now, we were 12 or 13 at the time and thought this was rather funny. So just to test the theory, we backed up, and when if we passed the knife, the wind once again started blowing. Once again, as two little girls, we did think it was funny, so we went to test the theory again and walked past, and once again, the wind did stop blowing. However, this time we decided to go a little bit further. So we continued walking, and we're probably about 10 or so feet past whenever I heard my mother call my name and then her name. We both heard it at the same time and yelled out and ran to see if what my mother wanted. My mother, who was still giving her mother a perm, said that she didn't call us, and her mother stated she didn't call us. Later on, we were comparing our notes, so to speak, and she stated that at the same time that I reported hearing my mother call my name and her mother call and my mother call her name, she heard her mother call her name and my mother and her mother call my name in that order. Now, the thing is, we only heard one voice. I heard my mother, and she heard her mother. So I don't know if it what it was. I'd like to think it was God trying to keep us out of harm's way. Maybe it was our guardian angels. But whatever it was, I know that it wasn't a prank that my mother played, because she did at times like to play pranks. But I would like to believe that it was God or the guardian angel, maybe even a relative that had passed away. However, that is one of the many stories that I do have about the paranormal. I do enjoy your podcast. I've only been recently listening to it, so keep up the good work. I do hope you have a wonderful day. Once again, my name is Maggie, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for that story, Maggie. I think that's really interesting. That I definitely think the voice kept them safe, mm-hmm. kept them from continuing. But I think it's so mm-hmm. interesting that in her head, she heard her mom. In her friend's head, her friend heard her own mother.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, that you and I both have had times in our lives when we've heard a voice call our name. And it wasn't my mom. It wasn't my dad. It was a different voice, but it kept us from being harmed.
Right.
You know, at different times. And so I think that it would even be more powerful as a young kid if your mom called you and you're like, oh, okay, we got to go because mom's calling. You know, if they could mimic the mother's voice, because we usually, you know, go, okay, you know, we'll do that. Whereas if you just heard somebody else's voice, you might be like, I don't know what that is, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
I kind of think that this And we have heard of this before, where it you know, it's like it impersonates someone else. But
and if you're,
you know,
12,
I agree that it's keeping you safe, though.
Because if you're 12 years old and you hear your mom's voice, chances are you're going to pay attention to your mom's voice. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe
exactly.
When you're 16, 17, you're like, well, we're still going to walk down the street. But
yeah.
I, you know, because when she tells a story and they walk past this fence with a knife in it, that's a little ominous. It's kind of like foreshadowing. Like, should you really go down that way? No.
You know. And I mean, it could just be neighborhood kids goofing and put a knife in the fence, you know, or whatever. I mean, that could happen. But it is weird.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I think it's so interesting that they each heard a voice, their own moms.
Mm-hmm. But we've heard of this before, mm-hmm. where, you know, you can hear an impression of what you think is your mom or somebody that you love. And then... they're not there, or they didn't do it. They've been passed away for years, you know, or whatever. So, I think we would tend to listen to our mom more.
So I think the moral of the story is, if you're walking down a creepy dirt road and you hear your mom's voice calling for you, pay attention.
Yeah, especially if there's a knife in the fence.
Yes. If you've seen the knife, then you hear your mom's voice. Go home.
Run away. Run away.
Run away. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. If you want to call it in, call 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.